Today's guest is Melanie Ramone, soul legacy business mentor, subconscious alchemist, and creator of the Holy Path, a framework for building legacy-rooted empires from soul, not depletion. Known as the CEO Whisperer of Cosmic Brilliance, Melanie has guided transformations in over 65 countries. She helps visionary entrepreneurs reawaken their purpose, lead with resonance, and build joyful, soul-aligned businesses rooted in truth. You're definitely in for a conversation that will activate something deep and powerful within you. We talk about the lies we tell ourselves and the brilliance within. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm really excited for my conversation with Melanie Ramone. Melanie was shared with me by Alicia Isaacs-Howes, and you know, if you're a regular listener, you not only know that Alicia has been such a wisdom keeper and a wonderful guest, but she's also an incredible connector, and she's just shared so many wonderful women for the podcast. So I'm really excited to introduce you, Mel, to the podcast.
I am so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to read just a moment of your bio so people can get a feel for you. And that begins with, Melanie is a soul legacy business mentor, subconscious alchemist, and the visionary creator of the Holy Path, a sacred framework for building aligned legacy-rooted empires with joy, truth, and resonance. Known by some as the CEO Whisperer of Cosmic Brilliance, that's so beautiful, Melanie has a unique gift for seeing the soul of a leader and helping them reclaim it. She blends mystical tools and cutting-edge subconscious alchemy to help visionary entrepreneurs reawaken their purpose, build businesses that feel like home to their soul, and create legacy-aligned empires rooted in truth, joy, and authenticity. She's on a mission to revolutionize the coaching and healing space. I think that's such a great mission. Guiding visionary leaders to dismantle internalized conditioning, embody radical accountability, and build from integrity, resonance, and soul-rooted truth. And so I will just kind of stop there, Mel, because I think it gives the listeners a good overview of what you're up to. But I just want to welcome you here into this space, and your voice is so welcome, and just everything, your lived wisdom, your lived experiences, and just anything that is here to be shared today.
I am so grateful and honored to be here with you today.
Really. Yeah, we got to meet 2 weeks ago when I was down in Miami, and we did a nice conversation together. So I got to know you a little bit. And I found out now is that you're living in the Netherlands. Is that right?
I am.
Okay. I didn't ask you that day what country you were born in and where you're from.
I'm Mexican.
Okay.
I was in Mexico. And then I moved to Italy when I was 17. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for 10 years. And then I went back to my home country. And now I'm here.
Wow. Wow. So you've been truly all over the globe.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for work. I traveled, the last time I counted, it was like 75 different countries that I've made events. And so, yeah, I've traveled.
Well, that's really, really incredible. And it's probably one of the soul connections you and Alicia have, because she loves travel too. And I know that. I've been thinking a lot about, you know, values and the values that we may have had since we were children. And when we're running businesses or just living life, they start to emerge, and they kind of come up over and over. I would guess that travel, and I don't know what else you would say, like our values that you know are core to you.
Well, yeah, definitely traveling. I think I my parents put me on a plane the first time alone. I was, I think, seven. And I remember the flight attendant putting a badge like, don't lose this kid. sorry. And everybody was like coming to pick me up and taking me. I think I was going to a camp in Houston. And it was pretty amazing. So yes, I have that. And
Wow.
I
Yeah.
have Sagittarius in one of my houses in astrology, so it makes sense.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, so you've been a globetrotter for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, when we met last week, we kind of were diving into the work that you've done, but it was just like I was saying with values, who we came in as young children as, and of course we know, you know, the healing and the integrating we do about our upbringings and, you know, what is here for us with that. But it really struck me how we quickly got into the conversation about your intuition and your empathic nature as a kid. And I thought maybe we could begin there because I think it's as you are this many years later and have this thriving business body of work that you're involved with, you know, what is it about that intuition or those abilities you had as a kid that just really you've allowed to shine as you've kind of stepped along life's path?
Well, that's an amazing question because, well, I have two stories come up for me to tell you. One was my mom says that I started crawling and then I immediately jumped into grabbing into the things and I started running. So I've always been like, oh, I can do things faster than normal without even knowing as a baby. And then I could sense since I was little the feelings of others. So I could read them somehow. And I remember that sometimes that got people uncomfortable. But I had a curious nature. So I was always trying to investigate and research. And I think my parents saw that because they would give me things to dismantle and to reconstruct. And I think that is what I do in business. And then I think I was 6 or 7 years old also, and my father had this huge ranch and he was like the king of the potatoes. So he would harvest tons of potatoes, and there was one harvest. It was a really good harvest. And I remember him coming to the house with tons of potatoes. And then I heard him talking to my mom. He was worried, and I could sense he was worried. And he was like, "Oh, the buyer didn't come, and now what am I going to do with all these potatoes?" So as a kid, I didn't know other than the US, Germany, because in my home city, we have the Volkswagen, some headquarters of production. So I had neighbors that were from Germany. So my vision of the world was only those three countries, Mexico, Germany, and the United States. So I was like, "Daddy, why don't you import your potatoes to Germany?"
Wow.
And then he was like, "Oh, don't say stupid things. You know, Germany is the pr number one producer of potatoes." And I didn't know that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to shut up. But later in life, I understood that it was a brilliant idea. He just didn't get me because I was not talking, like, my world was just those three countries. But the point was, get out of here and just look for a buyer. There's no problem. Like, there's no problem. So that kind of intuition I had since I was little. And then I built my whole business unconsciously from there. Because when I was a personal shopper, I would be like, "Oh, I understand you. I can get you, the perfect gift for your spouse, this and that, the best outfit for you, for your personality, etc." When I was a wedding planner, I was like, brides would come with their ideas and I would be like, "Oh yeah, I get you. I can make this happen."
Wow.
And then in business, it was like entrepreneurs coming to me with this idea and all these obstacles and all these things that made them not possible. And I would be like, "Oh, I get it. I get what you want. We can do this, we can do that, da 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 da." So I was like, "No, these are not obstacles. This is like blah, blah, blah." So every single business I have built, it has that as a source.
That's amazing.
which was developed from childhood, including my both the curiosity, because if somebody says, no, it cannot be done, I am curious. And I'm like, why can't it be done? Tell me why it can be done. And then I will find a way to make it happen.
That's amazing.
And then the velocity thing, like, why do I need to walk first if I can run? Thing, because I think we're able to collapse timelines just by shifting from the inside. It's so powerful that immediately you can step into a new reality and just collapse like 10 years, bam.
That's amazing. Do you think often people are walking around with some of these abilities themselves and maybe they look differently than the ones you're describing for yourself, but they just can't see it? And they're actually these really unique, beautiful things that are just so special to them. And then I remember when we met a couple of weeks ago, you're like, I just kind of can go in there and I can see what they can't see. I think giving people reflections like you do that, like you don't realize you do that, especially with skills that maybe aren't learned as much in business school or any schooling you've had so far in life.
Yeah, I think life puts you every day a mirror. So it's either with a client or a vendor or a request. It is showing you the way, the path. And as you walk the path, you discover more. So the thing I think happens is that people don't pay attention to themselves, to their actions, to their thoughts, to their behavior, to, you know, how we breathe? We don't think about breathing. We just breathe. That's what happens with unconscious patterns. We just do them. And it is only when we pay attention to ourselves, not to others, to ourselves. Like, how am I reacting? What is my body telling me? Because the body knows before you know it. Actually, the emotion, the body is like 7 seconds before the trigger of the nervous system to the brain, and the brain responds. And then the emotion just lasts 90 seconds. So it's a matter of seconds to become aware, consciously conscious of your own reactions. And then if you pay attention, it's like, oh my God, I can do this. Oh my God, I can shift this. Oh my God. When I, like, for me, one time it was like, I was feeling anxious and I was like, what is it? What is it? And I had so much thoughts. And then I was like, okay, I need to go and take some sun. And then I was just sitting there listening to the nothing. And I was in flow and my body started heating up. So I was like, oh, wait a minute. When I go to my mind, I go into chaos. Chaos produces anxiety in my body. If I am in flow, then my body warms up. And I get clear-headed.
I love that.
And then
Yeah.
everything just starts flowing.
And you were given that example on that day, and then you were aware enough, you were conscious enough to be like, wait, what's happening here? Yeah.
Yes. And that's what I do with my clients. And that's what I do pay attention to them.
Yes.
So even if they don't pay attention to them, I'm like, wait a minute. You have repeated that like 10 times now.
Yes, yes.
I don't need the 10 times. Like the third
Yeah.
time, it's like, oh, this is important. But they don't hear it.
Oh no. And they can be big subconscious beliefs. I remember sitting, I have a coach who lives in my neighboring town. I've known her for a long time. And before I got into coaching myself and just down this path, I met with her for coffee. Let's say this was 2018 or something like that. And so I was nearing, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years away from turning 50. And unbeknownst to me, probably 2, 3, 4 times in the conversation, I said something about my age. I had no idea. And at some point in the conversation, she said, Maureen, do you realize how many times you've cited your age is, and what I was doing was really creating a barrier, like that I can't, you know, create something new. And that was just like this kind of hidden belief system I had going on. I was like,
Definitely. And it works both ways.
yeah.
For belief system that limits you, that caps you, but also what your soul is craving. And your eyes light up, or they shrink, or they dim, like your body is always telling on you.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And so, just to go, I'm thinking about your trajectory too. So you kind of, I think you were saying that before we start hit record, is like you began, you said the personal shopping and then that fashion world, and then that wasn't exactly for you and you shifted to the coaching. I liked how you were telling me when we met about how just reading, being able to read the bride, read the woman, read and be able to garner information, I'm guessing that was unsaid, unspoken, but that you are able to really use in your special alchemy.
Yes, actually, I have one of the quotes that I put in my trainings that I tell them, like, this is worth gold, is if you can show that not taking action is going to cost you more than taking action, hence buying your service, then you will be making your business irresistible. If I didn't know that my magic was not in the picking the gifts or the outfits or planning the wedding, but in my vision and my paying attention to them, because everything that your client says, it can be used in your benefit to fascinate them. It's not anymore about satisfying the client, it's about shifting their mind, like, whoa, wow, how did you know? Like, oh my God. And they feel seen and they feel heard and they feel safe.
Yes, absolutely. That's so cool. Just thinking about your shift and shifts that have occurred for me as I've gone along creating my business is that you were saying, like, you just went with the flow, like, you just kind of went where life took you, kind of reading the cues that the universe was sending you. But I think it's interesting because often we set out with sort of a plan, especially, there's a lot in the coaching world or just, I guess, any kind of job. But we set out with sort of a plan, like, I've done coaching certifications and they've been in certain modalities. And then you learn them and you think, well, that's what I've learned. So I'm that. But what I'm realizing now is like, no, those are just all like the special parts of the potion that you're adding to the mix. And I think when you do the kind of work you're describing, where you're looking within a lot, when you're seeing your patterns, the things like that have held you back, the words that are coming out of your mouth, whatever it is, that you might end up, I think this is an important point, you might end up somewhere you never knew you were gonna be. And to have an open mind to this sort of like infinite possibilities. I think my conditioned mind wanted to think, I'm trained in this, I'm that. But now I'm finding that that's not the truth. And the truth of who you are comes from within, ultimately, to what we do.
Yes. Okay. So what I'm hearing is the modalities and the information that you learn are just tools. So you learn this modality and this modality and this modality and this modality, how many you want. Like you said, it's like a potion that you're mixing to create your own, like your own digital print. So the way you interpret, the way you apply them, the way you see, that's what makes every entrepreneur special. If not, it would be like, oh, I studied psychology, I studied psychology, I studied, oh, we're all psychologists. No, you're just people who studied psychology and have that information. Now, how you apply it makes you the go-to person for X. So 1,000 people study psychology, then they specialized on something, and that was what makes the spark. But then the way you apply it and the way you explain it and the energy you put into your work, that is what makes the difference. And the other thing I heard from what you said is about the expansion, I think, because life puts you in a path that if you pay attention to your curiosity, where your curiosity is leading you, then you will blend the potion, your own potion, in a very particular and unique way.
I like that.
And then that's like here, And then you're walking the path, and the path is showing you how to expand. For me, at least, it was like that. Like, I'm always amazed and in awe that my life is where it is because it's so much better than any of my plans. So I think that in my phase where I was, unhealed, I wanted to control because that made me feel safe. So I made plans and then I got really mad and frustrated because my plans were not going as I wanted. As I healed and I grew wiser, I was like, oh my God, every time I get a detour, I'm like, this is juicy. Where is it going to lead me? Because life is showing you how to expand and where to detour to a better place that you have never, ever, ever even imagined.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And this applies to both business and life. So, for example, when I met my husband, I was in a phase that I was like, I'm going to be single forever because I'm always traveling. Either I meet a guy in an airport or in an event because I'm always traveling. And actually, I came to the Netherlands for an event. I had just come back from Thailand for another event. And my colleague said, oh, can we exchange? Can I go where you're supposed to go tomorrow? And can you go in my? I'm like, yeah, I don't mind. So I go 5. I was kind of annoyed because I was like, oh, I need to wake up at 5 a.m. so that I get in the bus with my group and then go 2 hours to where we're going to have the aerobatic flights. So we arrived there, and then this guy, tall guy, comes and says like, "Hey, I'm Francois. I'm going to be your host for the day." And I'm like, oh my God. What? That's how I met my husband.
Wow.
I was annoyed, but it was a detour. It was like, no, you're not supposed to go to the north. You're supposed to go to the south. And for example, in business, I really wanted to be the PR of Chanel. And I applied. And I got the interview and I got the second interview. And then they said, you're overqualified. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Take me. Abuse of me. Please take me. And they were like, no, we cannot do that. It's against policies, blah, blah, blah. So I was really sad because that was my dream job. But that detour made me like, no, after another, I built my business because I needed to pay my rent. I cannot imagine myself not being an entrepreneur.
And also, like along the way, I'm thinking of your story. And so when you applied for the PR at Chanel, had you been doing the wedding coaching then or not yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Because I'm also thinking, when you step into the solopreneur entrepreneur shoes, lots of times we're giving ourselves permission to be something that has not existed as something we've been yet. And I think that that's a big thing that's happening too, because I look at you and I'm like, interesting. She started in the fashion world, was going for like PR within fashion houses. And then, of course, the coaching business. And you said like you've done multiple businesses and stuff. But like, did you really ever see yourself at this further place being largely a business coach in a way or just helping people with their entrepreneur
No,
endeavors?
never. Actually, it was also a detour because I was applying to get my title of Master Wedding Planner. And this association tells you that in order to get I think it was at that time, it was like 125 points. And just to be like how hard it was, a master's degree, like a real master's degree, got me only 4 points.
Whoa.
Yes. So I needed to get the 125 at that time. And one of the things that they said, it was like, teach what you know, share with the wedding community. So it was in my pursuit to get my title as a master wedding planner that I ended up coaching. This is the example of the expansion. I started coaching wedding planners because I was a wedding planner. And then people started talking about my training, and then photographers, caterers, makeup artists. started coming in. So I was like, oh, I should change it to the business of the wedding business, not the wedding planners. And then I did that. People were talking again, and then an architect, a retailer, a graphic designer. So life showed me the path to the expansion.
I love that. Do you feel that when one is on, I hesitate to call it the right track because there's many, but at least one of the right tracks that the universe is responding in kind, like it really begins to fall in place?
Well, my perspective is that every road is the right road because you chose it. And if you chose it, it cannot go any other way. It's the way it is. You cannot go back and say like, oh, now I want to choose that. Yes, you can, but it's like this is the road that I needed to take in order for me to see that it was the road that I didn't want to take. Every person is the right person, even if it feels like it's wrong, and every path is the right path because it's showing you your path. And eventually it will lead you to your soul path.
So that reminds me a lot about Alicia talks a lot about discernment. And I love that because she'll say simply, you know, like an experience teaches you, do I want more of that or not as much of that? And then you choose accordingly. I was going to say the piece for entrepreneurs of letting go and how we have these identifications from earlier in our life. For my life, I had in my mid-20s gone back to study a master's degree for speech and language pathology. And I think it's important in my timeline, and I think it might be important in, you know, bringing voices forward and the language we use and things like that in terms of my current work. However, letting go of the licensure around that, it took me a long time to do that. And obviously that was the right path. But what is it that occurs sometimes, like when we have resistance to letting go of, you know, something that we created earlier in life? And maybe we're not letting go completely, but I had worked for, you know, several years and then I stayed home raising my kids for many years. And then when I paid every year, I would pay for that license to stay active until I finally said, I'm not kidding you, 20 years later, I'm done. I'm done. But, and I know a lot of people are like that because maybe earlier in the life they got a law degree. They got, you know, these big degrees, but giving ourselves permission to, it's okay that you chose that when you were 20, 25, and it doesn't fit as much anymore.
I think the question is not to let go. I think the real thing is the fear of not knowing who am I without this? Because we can build from it, but there's a lie going on in the world saying that when we choose to no longer operate in, like, let's say I got a law degree and now I don't want to be a lawyer. Who am I without this title? And I need to let go of being a lawyer because I don't want to go. I don't want to be a lawyer. And then I have to start from zero. That's a lie. Because, yes, it's a complete lie. You cannot erase what you've been through and your knowledge. You're just building on top of that to what your soul and your heart is craving now because we're evolving.
And I know in America we're very tied to our degrees, and I'm sure in the in any part of the Western world that's true. I don't believe this, but I've had to shed parts of this story. Is are you legitimate without those formal degrees?
That's a great question. I think there are people who are. Because I know a lot of people who don't have a degree that are brilliant people. They're visionaries. So I don't think it's required. But maybe in your soul path, I think that for me, that was the path I needed to take. Because one of the things that one of my core messaging and the values, like you said at the beginning, is being true to myself. And my worthiness, like to understand my true value, which is away from the titles. But going for the titles and having my master's degree and all those diplomas gave me confidence. And you can earn it with titles and you can earn it with experience. I think the titles don't mean much when you don't have field work. Because the field work, like putting your hands into the mud, is what really gives you experience and certainty.
Okay,
Like,
I love
oh,
that.
I can do that. I can definitely do that because I've experienced that. So you give the proof to your mind, all parts of your mind, like, oh yeah, it can be done. And that certainty, when you show up to your clients with that certainty and to whoever, it's like, oh, I believe her.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about too how school comes in different packages because I've sat here with this coming week will be 120 episodes, right? And I've done about, so let's call that 80 guests, right? Okay. So I've heard 80 women's, one man, and nothing, I always say like another man will come along, I know, but I have loved it because it's been school for me to hear people's stories, to see how they've built, and then also how that I like the childhood questions sometimes because I think that there's clues of who we were, how we played, and just on down the line. And it's just like it's so awe-inspiring, the story and all the things that we think were regressions or backward steps and things like that, but they're not at all.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, I am playing small. No, you're not playing small. You were just playing at the consciousness level that you were operating back then. Now you know better. Now you think that you were back then playing small, but no, at least I'm always playing big, but then I evolve and I get to know more, have more access to knowledge. And I'm like, oh my God, I can play even bigger.
I like the parts I think that are changing in our culture right now. And that's why I've loved the podcast too, is because I recently had said to somebody, I love to exalt w women. And she's like, I love that word because it's not just support. It is like, let's really exalt one another. And that's a new paradigm, where we can really shift and celebrate and say, like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing what she's doing without the parts that, maybe used to feel envious or we felt less than and unworthy because of it. And, more and more people are doing the work of their inner transformation. I was going to just remark on how on your website you say, I don't do surface work. And, say a bit about that. I think we're covering it, but just like, why do you have that? Why is that so important?
I've noticed that, for example, a lot of people say change your mindset or your wire, rewire your subconscious, and it's just surface. It's like the tip of the iceberg, but I don't get scared by the shadow. That's why I work with radical accountability. So we go deep, 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 deep into the darkness of the ocean, and I will not flinch. I can hold space for that. I will hold space for the person, and then the shift is not a belief. It's like a recalibration of at cellular level. It's like a reconstruction of your inner architecture.
Like your DNA, even.
You know, if somebody wants to change their mindset, they don't come to me.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing too, because I believe when you do that deep level work, when you're going down to the depths, because the work that I've done over the years looking at my shadow side and, really looking in that mirror reflection daily, really, and being, so compassionate with that younger version of myself and unearthing, which is still happening, my belief systems then change naturally. And so I think like when I was earlier in my journey and I would have someone say like, well, your thoughts create your reality, I'd be like, it felt like surface work in a way. And I know that each of our truths is different, but it's been a big truth of mine that that emotional sort of healing and understanding and, like I think you mentioned in the beginning something about being with our emotional material. And when we learn how to befriend it and allow it and do all these things where maybe we ignored or suppressed or all these things when we were younger, all the things that I wanted for myself are now happening without me having to have so much control over making them happen.
First of all, It's not the conscious thoughts that change our reality. It's the subconscious thoughts. And we are not even aware of what they are. And then there's a deeper layer with the unconscious. The unconscious guards the information, like it's the information keeper. And then the subconscious is operating through that information. And then the conscious is like, oh, I want to be a millionaire. But the subconscious is like saying, no, 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 no. That's dangerous, because the unconscious says like, oh, we have information that people were killed because of money. And you don't even know that you have those. So if you go into the depth and change those at a cellular level, then you start creating your new reality. That's what people don't tell you. You mentioned shadow work. Some people don't like to do the shadow work because it's so painful. And that is part of what I call radical accountability, because we're telling ourselves lies all the time that we don't even know, that go beyond our belief system. It's not only beliefs, it's like unconscious actions and unconscious patterns that we do as we were breathing. We don't even notice. We don't even know they're there. Let's say I have a goal of doing 100K this year, right? And it doesn't happen. I cannot make it happen. It's not because I'm not capable of doing it. There's something that is telling my brain that it's dangerous for me to allow it. The other sign is like, I make the 100K, but then they go. Like, I make 100K and 99,000 are of costs. There's then an unconscious thing that is not allowing you to keep them because it doesn't feel safe, because that's the job of the brain.
And that's deep down. And I would say, just having trained with a lot of different people, like my peers, most of us are walking around with these stories. Just the real subconscious. They're not even stories. They're just like hanging out. They're, like you're saying, they're our cellular experience.
And that is my job. Like, I don't do surface. You worked on the surface, then you're like, this is not working. I've done the job. I've done the shadow work. I've done this. I've done the clearing. Da, da, da. And then they come to me and I penetrate. There's no sneaky thing that will get past me. I will.
Absolutely. And I think when people know that they're held in that safe space, and you have that mirror that's so clearly energetically working with you, it's, you know, 1,000%, then that's where the change can occur too.
Yes, I'm giving this mastermind. And in one of the sessions, I said, I have a bomb for you, to one of them. And she was like, oh, tell me. And I'm like, okay, so I don't think you do that, her description. I think you're beyond that. I think you're trying to put your feet in a shoe that doesn't fit. But she did not know how to express it. And I said, this is going to be life-changing for you, because this changes everything, how you position yourself, how you view your work, how you talk to your clients. And she was mind blown, like, oh my God, no one had ever seen me like that. That is huge, because, and then you
Huge.
collapse timelines.
And then you've been doing the long enough where you, when you get that vision and that sort of download, and you read that energy of a person, that it's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate. That's awesome. You've written a book. Has that come into existence, only recently? Has it been around for a while? Can you tell us about it?
It's been around for a while. I think it's 8 years this year.
Ooh, it's called Scarpe Diem. Is that
Scarpe,
right?
yes.
And what's the meaning of the title?
It's a play of words, because carpe diem, live like it was your last day. Scarpe in Italian is shoes. So I say that there was a moment in my life that, well, I was living in Milan, so you can imagine I was like in the fashion industry hard. So I was like buying so much shoes that instead of my carpe diem was my scarpe diem.
Oh, that's great.
Until I was like, I cannot leave with those shoes and not be able to buy a house. So I shifted the whole perspective. I stopped, well, kind of stopped buying shoes, but then I built my empire through that.
Amazing. You know, the last, I think, kind of question I think I have, it's hard to stop me, but is just around, you know, we haven't used the word really too much in the podcast, but you talk a lot about soul alignment and soul work. How does the soul play a part in guiding us and leading us? And maybe we did sort of touch upon it, but I just know it's kind of something that you have out there front and center. And I think it's the way we're moving. I think of even like Alicia's business. I know I've mentioned her a lot. It's just because of the connection, but your soul story. When I met Alicia, like that soul, she was on like the leading edge of it, right? But it's here for a reason, and we're seeing it more and more for a reason. But what do you think that's all about, and what does it mean for your business?
For me, it's the origin point. You are born, you have no beliefs, you're just you. You're asking as a baby, like, I want food and you get food. I want this and you get that. There's nothing that is limiting your world. You get what you ask. And then somehow we start growing and we start grabbing things that are not ours. So for me, it's the baby. It's the baby, the origin point. Who were you before all that? All the growing and all the trauma. Because I love when Gabor Mater says, trauma is not what happened to you. It's the meaning of and the emotion of what happened to you, right? So it's not people conditioning you. It's what are you picking from the exterior that it's not yours? And that you grabbed it as yours because you thought that was the thing. And for me, that's the soul meaning. Like, you were born with this ability to explore the world. When did you forget? When did you started saying, like, no, I cannot do that because of X, Y, Z?
You know, as we circle out, I always ask the guest, you know, if there's just anything that you're getting that's coming to you that you think is a really important message for the listeners that you might not have shared yet or wants to come out in a different way.
The thread of our conversation is the lies we're telling us. Like, can we identify that? Can we allow ourselves to pay attention to what our body is telling us so that we allow ourselves to remember who we truly are in our full brilliance so that from there we build on top of that? From our true brilliance without the fear of anything, whatever fear, because fear is good, right? Like, fear allows us to not put our hand in the fire or not go into the dark alley at 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's good, right? So I would love to invite whoever is listening to us to listen to yourself because your body is always speaking to you. And life is always speaking to you. Like every single day, you're presented not with triggers, like what lies beneath the trigger? What is my body telling me that I want to pivot or that I don't want to longer tolerate, that I want to upgrade my standard? Because that is what triggers are telling us. Like, where am I not free and where do I want to expand? And it's from loving you. If you love yourself, you start listening to you. You start paying attention to you. You start honoring your own body and your own wisdom.
That's good. I love that. Perfect place to end. I want to say a big thank you to you. And if you'd share your website or if you are on social media, just to share that with the listener. And I'll, of course, put it in the show notes too.
Well, you can find me anywhere as Luxor Mel, like luxury, but without the Y, Luxor Mel. And my website is my name, melanieramone.com, or Mel Ramone, both work, same information.
That's wonderful. Okay. So thank you for being here. And thanks to the listener, as always. Please share if this resonated with you and you think someone else can benefit from it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. and be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.